Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
Greetings, world. This is Piercing the Veil, February 26, 2017. I'm Corey, and I'm here with Jordan, who usually leads in the show. We're going to switch roles this time. Jordan, you there?
I'm here. Welcome.
Excellent. Excellent. Today we're going to talk about the nature of reality. What is this place? Who are we? How do we get here? And what are we doing? And what are we to do with all of this existence, as it were? Give us a recap, Jordan, of the last show before we go in. Just quickly, if you recall.
Yeah, our last show was about current events. We did a couple updates on the recent protest movements that are happening and differentiated between the big, large-scale, globalist-funded things and the sparsely scattered few organic uprisings and things like that. And we came to a conclusion, whether people agreed with it or not, that's beside the case. Based on the facts and based on our own opinions and based on some research, we came to the conclusion that even those small organic uprisings against Trump were misguided as well. While he may not be doing exactly what everybody expected him to do to a T, he is completing a lot of his promises. So, again, what he's also targeting is the vaccine industry. There was an email that I think he was required to delete to get his account back online, and that was the chemtrail, the tweet. And that basically says my first act is going to be ending chemtrails. And what happened when he was inaugurated? It was ended for 2 weeks, and then it started back up again. And that got deleted, and there's some controversy over that. There's all sorts of things that are happening, though, that support the logical reason that for the first time in a very long time, somebody has snatched the reins of control to a limited degree from the globalists and the rest of their puppets, really, in Congress. So what you've seen is what you've seen really since the election and continuing, just a very cyclical pattern of just finding new reasons to hate on somebody or blame them and waste your time protesting. And people are out there defending the protest. Oh, protesting is, oh, it's always affected great change. It's like, no, protesting has done nothing other than some very limited information awareness, but you're at friction and odds with the people you're trying to convince. Now, a civil disobedience, an act that's showing that you're not going to comply with something, is actually creating a right for yourself. And, you know, I got into a Facebook post beef for at least 30 minutes trying to explain to somebody the pure logic of the fact that rights are not given to you. Rights are not something that are recognized as of themselves. Yes, recognition of rights might happen, but that doesn't confer upon them the authority of where they came from or their origin, right? So that's really what we're dealing with right now, is differentiating between rights and privileges, because all these people, whether they be transgender, LGBTQ, 50-plus genders, whatever, they're asking and going about it the wrong way. They're not doing something negative or bad, so to speak. They have the right to express themselves, obviously, any way they want. They don't have the right to impose that shit on anybody else. And likewise, us, anybody like ourselves, we don't have the right to impose vice versa. But what really brings those two into harmony is when both sides really understand that they're just going to do what they're going to do anyways, and then the harmony will naturally occur when people stop caring what other people think or stop asking for recognition from the other person. When you stop asking for something, then typically it actually comes to you. It's a very strange phenomenon. So that's just one of the things I think you wanted to touch on. That's why we're doing this role reversal. You have a lot of good stuff that needs to come out, and we're going to get really back into the origins and the roots of our show And so I really appreciate the format that we're doing today that you created, Corey. So I'll go ahead and hand it back to you. That was basically my answer in a nutshell about everything that you asked. So
yeah, right on. And I particularly like what you say about rights, you know. I've commented before, you know, if you're asking your perceived superiors to do something for you, you're already displacing your power, right? You're asking the slave master to, you know, don't beat me so hard or something.
Correct. Correct.
And it's just, you know, that's the wrong way to go about it. You know, so it, you know, a lot of these conversations, we've talked about all this stuff that's going on in the media. So much of our attention is focused on this artificial reality, which is basically promulgated, and any real discussions amongst people on the planet are kind of dictated by what's dictated to us. What's socially acceptable, what comes down from on high, and so forth. And it kind of, that's what kind of gave rise to this show, which is about the nature of the reality. You know, we're paying so much attention to a lot of this artificial stuff.
Combating the false narratives by identifying them, exposing them, and providing solutions to get rid of them for the ordinary person.
Right. And so so let's dig in a little bit. You know, what are we doing here? You know, what is the nature of reality? Every day, without fail, I'm amazed at, like, you know, I'm this thing which we call a human being, right? I got two eyes, a nose, a mouth. I got five fingers on each hand, five toes. You know, there's some very specific manifestations of how we are. Nature is manifested in a certain way. We are a part of nature. We have a physicality. We have a mental component. We have all these different components that we're aware of. And it is what it is. And every day, not a day passes where I'm like, wow, this thing is what it is.
Everything, yeah, it's called, one of my newfound friends, Jack Bowling, goes to a few gatherings recently. He stated something that he identified with, which is suchness. And that's what I call it is what it is. What you're describing is the suchness of the universe, is that everything is in a harmonic and balanced state as it rests, right? It's not resting and still, it's resting and in harmonic balance in a state, sort of like a seesaw is resting in the middle with equal weights. And every once in a while, some outside factor will tilt the seesaw here and there, but it will always come back to its equilibrium, sort of like a gyroscope. And that's actually what's happening, is the suchness of the universe is all you have to come into resonance with. And when you do that, you can dictate your life path on a multidimensional scale, as opposed to just trying to chicken peck here and there. Okay, I'm going to get a good job on this, in this one tiny physical life, in this one tiny lifespan, I'm going to focus on getting a good job and making my life as good, blah, blah, blah. No, you should be focusing for the long term and realizing that death is just a transition. So to really think of one's life as, oh, it's going to end right there, and to act accordingly is to die every day and to not truly live. And when you live for past your lifespan, meaning you're learning like psychedelic skills, shaman skills, and how to manipulate your consciousness, and not manipulate, that's the wrong word, but how to work together and form agreements and partnerships that bind with your surrounding environment and the actual physics of nature in the dimension that you're in. This is how true shamans and magicians actually work. They're able to travel in between, usually with the help of plant medicine. So that's really, truly what you should be looking for, is the nature and mysteries of your soul and the universe, as opposed to, okay, how can I get a good job or a good car or a good career or my 401k, or, oh my God, Trump's going to fuck this up, or blah, 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 this person, or whoever your target is for duality.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's where we're at. And I think what you described was excellent, which was a projection. And what most people don't realize is there is truly a projection. There's a frequency of a veil that's projected on everybody in this region of the galaxy for the most part, and mostly on this planet. And that veil corresponds to certain frequencies. And Corey, if we could just maybe touch real quick into like how the archons and the structure and the plasma structures are set up.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, basically, you know, there's more to life than I think most people, right? You wake up in the morning and you have to, we have to function in this reality. I think the Buddhists call it chop wood, carry water, right? You got to, your day-to-day survival stuff. You know, that's a part of the story. That's a part of the dream. That's a part of the physical reality that we're in. But I suspect most people, when they wake up in the morning, you know, unlike myself, where I'm like, wow, I got a body, I'm a spirit, I got a mind, I'm on a planet, and there's all this physical stuff that appears physical, but it's really not. Every day I go through that, and I'm not certain, you know, unfortunately, I'm not certain that most people do that. They wake up and they go, okay, I got to get on the wheel. What am I doing today? And, you know, I would encourage people to have a little bit more appreciation, take time out into the mystery and the miracle of what we're dealing with. It's like a conversation I had the other day with a bunch of friends around a campfire. It was a full moon. It was back in December. And I always like to bring up this subject because it flips people's wigs typically, you know. And that is that from our perspective, the sun and the moon appear to be the same size, right? And whenever I think about that, I try to figure out, like, what are the odds of that? You know, there seems to be two lines of reasoning as to how we got here, right? There are myriads of creation stories, thousands of them, probably, from all kinds of different cultures across the planet. Most of them are pretty similar, right? There was some real smart being that had existence or that had always existed or something, or maybe it was some represented by some kind of powerful animal or something, or some kind of deity or Shekinah, forgot what the Hopis called it, some kind of avatar, some kind of superior being that created man and the earth and nature and all the creatures on the earth and so forth. And then there's the other, you know, Western, so-called scientific version, evolution, where all of this stuff just happened completely randomly over billions and billions and billions of years, and that the mathematics is such that it was just inevitable that all of this stuff that's floating around in the universe, maybe from the Big Bang, that appeared out of nowhere all of a sudden, organized itself into organic life haphazardly. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me, Jordan? Yeah.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214 1-800-290-3053.
Corey.
Yeah, I'm here.
Seating
can you hear me?
Nurturing.
Hey, man, I got dropped off. My internet shows that it's functioning, but it's not working. I can't hear you guys. You can't hear me.
Can
obviously,
hear me?
I was about to say something. I can now.
Okay.
I believe I was about to say something that they didn't want to get out.
yeah, probably. So,
you know, some.
So
some
anyway, we were talking about the sun and the moon, the unlikely. Reality that they appear to us to be the same size, though they are different sizes, and the mathematics and the odds of that. And I often bring up this thing. It's like, look, whether you believe that the evolution that we created, that all of this was created just haphazardly, or you're of the understanding or the belief that there is a design to it, that there was a designer, it almost doesn't matter.
No, it kind of does. It doesn't in your context, but out of context it does, and I'll explain it like this. It's a unity of opposites, just like everything in the universe is a unity of opposite. What appears to be opposite is actually whole, and so the creationism and the evolutionary aspect of the positions that these people are taking are one and the same.
Yes.
What do I mean by that? Life naturally fucking evolves through the universe. There's plenty of evidence of that, DNA evidence, genealogical records. We know it to be true.
Right.
On the other hand, we also know that miracles happen. The soul energy comes from somewhere of a higher degree than the physical genetic nature. So we also know that in at least some sense, there's a higher entity or what we call God or something or a source of some sort of energy. We know that to be true as well. And that energy is also capable of creating human beings because what have human beings been doing for hundreds of thousands of years? Well, they've been reproducing. And it's not just a physical sex act that's making that soul connect to the body. You understand? There's a higher order mechanism at work. And so when you say create, and here's where you get really controversial. There's been successive races or successive generations of created humans on this planet based on different types and archetypes and patterns and things like that, generally having a humanoid shape. Obviously, lots of genetic experiments were done by a group collective of over 22 different alien races over a time period of millions of years. So they are both right.
Right.
But they're both wrong.
And exactly.
In that thinking their side is the only right.
Right. And evolution, meaning adaptation, really, is built into the design that was designed.
That's right. Exactly.
If you follow my drift. So it's not... Again, it's not it's not this cut and dried. It's a false paradigm. The whole creationist evolution evolutionist argument is a false paradigm because clearly, to my understanding, this is clearly designed, and adaptation is part of the design. So they're both
What are you really saying here to the listeners? You're basically saying, hey. This body and this DNA as it was created here on this planet in these time periods and these generations is a prison, essentially. And so conversely from what was created, there's also things that were removed, which is certain DNA patterns and things like that, multiple strands of DNA that allow you to exist consciously and co-create in multiple frequencies at once as multiple beings or multiple versions of you or multiple areas of the universe. You can all harmoniously, it's like a computer server network, basically, instead of one PC. So everybody is one PC because their DNA has been manipulated in such a way, for the most part, to be that way. But here's the beautiful thing. What are we about, Corey? Solutions. And the solution is there in itself. It's already happening with these indigo children, these crystal children, people, these kids that are appearing and being born with multiple strands of DNA, with huge, insane amounts of potential and talent and knowledge and star knowledge and all sorts of different shamanic healing knowledge of crystals. There's an 8-year-old that knows how to form crystal grids that actually have an effect on the feng shui of the house, all sorts of different things. And the reason for that is that the soul energy, the soul aspect outside of the evolutionary part of it, the created partition of the soul, which is a part of the source, whatever you want to call it, God, whatever, that in itself has the power to manifest upon the physical and change the DNA for the better or for the worse. And so then your intention, perspective, and conscious awareness comes into play.
Right. Exactly.
Now, you said you wanted to talk about good and evil, so that I was sort of just leading up into.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's another construct. It seems to me, you know, I think there's some validity to it. You know, some cultures there are no good and evil. It's just sort of a balance of forces, which is, you know, maybe more Eastern, perhaps Buddhist or Shinto or what have you. And then you have the Western, which is, you know, Judeo-Christian, basically, or Abrahamic, where there is definitive good versus evil, and that the, you know, what the battles of good and evil on earth between men and entities is a manifestation of something that's the war in heaven, if you will, of good versus evil, of these other beings, angels, if you will, and other principalities, non-physical principalities, in a as above, so below type scenario.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's easiest, you're right. It brings this up for me, a vision of negative and positive polarization and a vision of a Taurus. Everybody knows what a Taurus is, I think. If you don't, go ahead and look it up. Not this zodiac sign, Taurus, T-O-R-U-S. It's a torsion field. It looks like a bubble with little holes in the end. It looks like the planet Earth with the hollow north and south pole.
It looks like a donut,
if you will. A donut, basically, but expanded into a sphere-like shape. And the energy is rushing out of the center, out of the top, down the sides, and swirling around in a circular fashion, and then also coming back in and recreating and demolished and annihilated and recreated and coming back up all the way through. Now, on the sides, there's bound to be some eddy currents and some anomalous or not naturally occurring, some sort of twisted, negatively charged strands, if you will, and that's what you're seeing, what evil is, right? It's just it's an anomaly. It's not the fact that good and evil are balanced equally, necessarily. Maybe in the microcosm, but on a macro scale, in the whole of the universe is a multi-dimension, Corey. My understanding, take this for what it's worth, like 2 cents and a cup of coffee somewhere, to whoever, or it could be worth more than the calculable riches of any gold stores on Earth, to whoever is able to use this, but my opinion is basically that harmony, balance, and good is a natural state of everything, and that the evilness that we see, especially manifested on this planet, is amplified to such a degree that we feel that it's the norm, or we feel that it's some sort of formidable force, and, you know, therefore it's reinforced in all the religious texts that, oh, there's this epic battle between good and evil, like you said, who's going to prevail, the war in the heavens, right? And so it lends credence to this actual, to this fake plausibility that, oh, maybe the evil is just part of human nature and yada, yada, yada. And so people accept it on a certain level. They accept it into their consciousness, into their reality and their dimension, and that goes on for generations. And then social trends and controlled consciousness has an impact on that as well.
Right. It's those stories that get repeated over and over again. I think it's one thing that we're becoming aware of is that humans create their own reality. We create the reality here.
That's right.
And so if we, you know, it kind of makes sense that we're working off of stories that are really old, and that whether or not how we perceive them is actually how they went down. It's like telephone. We talked about telephone. You know, we're handed down books, we're handed down knowledge, stories, and so on and so forth. And generation after generation, we go off of the same dynamics and principles, for better or for worse. And they get concretized. They become reality by us agreeing to participate in those stories and operate from those points of view. So, yeah, the good and evil thing, you know, maybe it's kind of a fallacy.
It really is. But at the same time, like we said, the universe is a unity of opposites. And we've had this good and evil. Didn't Corey? Didn't we have a good and evil episode? I think we did.
Sure, right. We did.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So the unity of opposites thing is really that everything does exist, but for a unified singular purpose at the end. When you really look at the root of their interaction, a good and evil, it exists for a singular purpose. Now, it is an anomaly. It's not a half and half, oh, this half purpose, half purpose. It's an anomaly. So the purpose of evil is to, how do I describe this?
It's like a resistor.
Yeah, and so, exactly. It's just an opposite effect, just a few little side effects here and there. It's like side effects from taking bad medicine, poison, or pills, if you will. So it's very subdued in large parts of the galaxy. And see this, and I'll let you get back into the main thread, but I want to jump off here and get into hierarchical structure. Okay, what is the meaning of life? Well, the meaning of life is obviously what you make it to a large extent, because you chose to inhabit a soul here on this planet, and this is a prison planet. You chose one of the hardest places, or maybe you got tricked into being in one of the hardest places. But the meaning of life is to prepare for your death or transition. Seriously, like, oh, what? Oh, you're an idiot, Jordan. What do you mean? Oh, prepare for my death? I just want to go drink and party. But no, know that you're just fucking wasting your time if you're not ready to leave when it happens. Because when you leave, you need to have a clear idea of how to get through all this nasty shit that's out of the body. So yeah, the meaning of life is how to survive outside the body and consciously choose your next incarnation instead of being tricked into something, having your memory wiped, because soul memory is electromagnetic. It carries with the soul. The memory is largely electromagnetic. The subconscious, the scientists are like, where's the subconscious come from? It's an electromagnetic field that's easily manipulated with ultra-low frequency waves and all sorts of other things. But what I'm saying is there's a hierarchy, and at the top of the hierarchy is what we call God, or source, right? And below the hierarchy is extremely connected, multidimensional beings who don't have these locks on their DNA, what people would call angels or ascended masters, yada, 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 whatever, right? Mm. Then you have central races below them, which are races that have existed in peace and advanced levels of technology for millions of years already, and they are basically like the caretakers for each part of the central galaxy. They live near the central sun. There's a central sun in the galaxy, and our suns are orbiting. And likewise, inside most planets, there's a sun as well, or some sort of plasma anomaly which produces heat and light just like a regular sun. So now we're stepping down the hierarchy here. Now you've got human souls, which are the most prevalent soul type in the universe. And a soul is like a container, right? It's not a spirit. An essence or a spirit is being fractionalized or fractalized from these multidimensional consciousness that I spoke of. And they exist in the central races as archetypes. And then they come down into different, reptilians and lion people, and anything that you can think of exists somewhere. And in that structure, there's like a template. And the template is largely two arms, two legs, a head, and a torso. Tail, arms, claws, things like that. Upright, exactly. And now here's the thing. Most of these humanoid containers then inhabit or grow out of bodies, or just manifest. So some of the higher races, they're not born. They just manifest and solidify some light matter around them. So light and sound can be manipulated or condensed by consciousness, by a high level of consciousness that's not limited by implants, GMOs, vaccines, chemtrails, so on and so forth, which is the purpose of all of those agendas on this planet, is to ultimately keep anybody from ever waking up. Because if one person wakes up to a significant degree, even to what we're doing, Corey, it can have an impact on millions of people energetically and then also physically as well. So what I'm really trying to say is that in the hierarchy of souls and hierarchy of power, human souls that have come on this planet Earth are some of the most powerful fucking beings in the world, or in the galaxy, I should say, right? Now, here's the rub. A lot of these soul containers on this planet, people that are being born, are actually projected into this dimension by archons and their structures, which are entities that holographically manipulate consciousness and reality. And they have these programs that they catch people who are stuck in religion and all sorts of paradigms and stuff. When the person comes out of the body, they haven't trained to leave the body, right? So they're disoriented, they're confused. Have you ever been on an all-night bender before? How do you wake up in the morning? Imagine that 100,000 times and tell me that you're going to remember that you just came out of a body. No, right? It's, but if you're prepared and you're conscious and your frequency is raised to such a vibration that you're almost there, ready to go, and if you went any higher, that your actual body would just materialize into to light, basically, then when you actually do die and leave the container, you're ready to go. You just go boop, right through a plasma tunnel, and you go to a neutral zone, and now you can go off and do whatever you want. You can be a man or a woman or a child or this or that or a plant or a super galactic, powerful Superman flying through the universe. Whatever you want exists outside of the body. So now on the lower end, now you've got all these negatively oriented plasma anomaly-related species, reptilians, some reptilians, and so on and so forth. So I thank you for letting me break that down. I know we're role reversing here. I'll let you get back into the main thread of the show, but yeah. That's really what
I want you to get back to the Archons, too, because the way that I see it, and along the lines of how you describe it, the Earth to me appears to be like a unique experiment in the galaxy. Right? Clearly, I mean, we've talked about it before. Anyone who wants to research it,
hijacked experiment.
There's genetic, there's genetic manipulation. Clearly, if you read between the lines in Syrian lore, in the Bible, any number of things, you can see, and it's in science, although we have a limited access to a lot of this information about genetics, right? Who's the GenCorp? Who's the folks who have patented the human genome at this point?
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they've got they've got all the information. They've got all the answers as well.
They've been doing so much research and hybridization programs. Some of elements of our secret intelligence agencies and special access programs that existed back in the 50s and the 40s and even before that were Nazi-oriented. And also they were working with negatively oriented races, and they basically exchanged the rights to harvest a certain number of individuals on the planet and even provided material and logistics support in the form of personnel, which is right. Why you find so many people, and this is not talked about in the UFO circles, right? We always get into what's not talked about. That a number of abductions have actually said that there's a U.S. or otherwise military presence that are standing right next there and assisting the alien presence in doing the abductions and the experiments.
Sure.
And that 9 times out of 10, if it's a negative experience, we believe it to be of some sort of government-run program or sanctioned program at the very least. And so, yeah, they've been doing that for a long time. And then what are chemtrails? That we're literally every single fucking day, nobody talks about this, we are being subjected to experiments with all sorts of viruses and permanently DNA altering effects.
Now, of course, the food, the electromagnetic spectrum, everything.
If you know how to shield yourself,
everything is part of a genetic and spiritual experiment.
Oh, it's pervasive, Corey. And if you know how to shield yourself properly, to a certain extent, it mitigates it. I mean, I'm not going to go around saying, oh, yeah, I'm a badass. I know chemtrails don't affect me. Dude, I feel the effect of them, but I know that it would be 100,000 times worse if I didn't consciously talk to my body and my DNA and always say, okay, you're wonderful. You can do anything. You can change anything that you need to. I believe in epigenetics, which is the fact that intention and consciousness and indeed circumstances and surroundings can actually change and have a physical effect on your DNA. In your lifetime, in the actual month span, not a lifespan. It's really important that people know this type of shit.
Yeah. So, weigh in on the. It's been referred to by some cultures as reincarnation. I think I've heard you say that you lean more towards the fact that it's a prison planet, that there are forces, Archons, and other forces that are there specifically to keep these energies, our energy potential as individual souls, kind of trapped in this matrix, in this system.
I see.
Go into that a little bit. Go into that. How did that come about? How is that? How, in your view, has it changed the original program of what this thing is?
Here's the thing. I find that we need to look at exactly the root of what's going on first. And let me say this. Essentially, if it feels like it's right, if you feel deep down inside, okay, this is good, this is comfortable, blah, 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 this is good, then it's typically right. There are some exceptions. So everybody wants to feel like they have the choice or voluntary ability to do what they want at any time. And some people call it laziness, but there's an inherent, that's what we search for when you search for freedom, okay? So if it feels right and you want to be able to do it, you should be able to do it. And that includes reincarnation. What I'm saying is that there's two forms of reincarnation. You've got natural reincarnation, which is what I just described. Oh, I'm going to spend some time out of the body. I'll stay here for a couple hundred thousand years, and then I'll go try another one, right? Mm-hmm. You leave a body. You gently, peacefully, and coherently and consciously maintain a connection of your personal identity, your experiences, your memory, so on and so forth, and you move through the plasma tunnel, and you ascend into the higher realms out of higher orders of energy, out of the physical, right? Because energy is not destroyed. It's consciously maintained by electromagnetics and other higher described forces. And that's the natural course of things. And then you go and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I want to be a cow somewhere on a planet where they don't eat meat. Whatever, right? Oh, I'm a little kitty, blah, 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 flying through outer space with acid eyeballs. Whatever, like seriously, whatever you can come up with, it exists out there. And that's the basis of all fiction. Any good fiction writer is actually drawing on some sort of set of circumstances. Even science fiction, no matter how crazy it is, it exists somewhere. So
sure.
That's the natural state or order. Now, here's the shitty part. There, on this planet, in this area, there are certain spiritual software programs that are set up in such a way that when people who are unaware and confused after making a transition they weren't fucking ready for, when they get out of the body, automatically their confusion and energy is targeted by the frequency that this program is putting out, and then they get sucked back into a body, and that archon structure plants them into a set of parents that just conceived into a certain area of the planet that will allow them to suck as much energy off that person as possible, whether that be a shitty area of the planet where they just suck all the energy of death and disease and fear, or whether it be a nice pompous area on the other side of the planet where they suck all the pride and the ego energy and whatever. It all tastes, it's like delicacies to these entities. They feed on energy, okay, in a negative parasitical way. And they're just puppets. They're not running the show. There's a lot of higher order negative oriented anomalies that are the people would call the chimera group that are doing this. So yeah, there's two reincarnations. There's a forced loop cycle, which we call the karmic cycle. And so really why I started off saying this, Corey, if it feels good, it's typically right. Does it feel good that your karma has to come up and bite you and you can't escape it in this life and you have to live your karma out and it's not something that you can discharge in the moment or get rid of in the moment, which it is true that you can do that, but most people aren't aware. So do you think that most people say, oh, it feels good that I have nothing to do about this karma but just accept it? No, it doesn't feel good because it's a false paradigm. You can discharge anything you want in the moment and leave it behind. It's false. That karma bullshit is tied into that. They want you to carry that shit so they can target you. Like, oh, this guy's been in this many domestic abuses, or this guy's been in this many rapes of children, this guy's been in this whatever. And so it's like a filing system that can go, oh, we need more of this energy. Boop, boom, 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 right? It's logical to think that just as on Earth, as above, so below. Just below here, we have organizational and logistics problems that have to be solved by people coming together and feeding hundreds of people in a certain, okay, you got to get the food, you got to cook it, you got to distribute it, you got to do this, got to blah, 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 you got to clean up. It's the same principles that they don't just stop operating that way when you leave the fucking body. That's ridiculous to think that, oh, I left the body, so everything doesn't work the way it did before. Yes, to some degree and extent, there's expanded exceptions is what I would call them. You can instantly manifest something as opposed to having to wait to build it or to put it together or to grow it or to whatever. It's boom, it's in you, in your consciousness, in your bubble, like that, outside of the body, in most states, if you will, states of consciousness. So it's all fake, Corey. It's all bullshit. It's fake. If it vibrates, it's an illusion.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, really, let's get back to the good and evil thing. There's really not really good and evil. Maybe there's just resistance and flow. Right? And maybe this whole, yes, there are entities that are benefiting from keeping souls uninformed and trapped here, and as you call it, like the feedback loop, getting looped right back in. But somehow they have an existence, and they are allowed to exist. And so what I'm thinking is maybe this is like a school. Maybe this is like a big what do you call it? Maybe it's a big experiment where the soul or the group of souls that continue to come here, maybe it's a refining process. Right? We talked about resistance.
There is that going on, but it's mostly applied to the negative entities that you would describe as demonic, people that have given way to demonic energy to such a degree that they would mass murder and ritual murder people and eat babies and so on and so forth. And to a large extent, what I'm describing is the ruling, so-called ruling elite or Illuminati on this planet. They gain their power supposedly from these archons that drip feed them little miracles and control over certain aspects of reality and so on and so forth. And they use meme magic and currency magic. They're literally infusing currency and policy and regulation, every law that's ever written, every person that goes in the courtroom, they are participating in something that's been infused, actually imbibed with this negative, dirty energy. It all carries it with it, right? It's not just some magical thing where it's like, oh, this money's blah, blah, blah. It's the whole structure is imbibed with these archonics energy, and they like it that way. It helps them, and it also helps them keep control over these other people because they can control their emotions and their tendencies and blackmail them and so on and so forth. So what you really have is it's sort of like, hey, this is your last chance. You've gotten to such a low anomaly level that you're about to be cleared and reincarnated through the central sun back into pure energy. Like, you'll lose all the electromagnetic memory and the experiences of who you were, however negative and nasty and dark. All of that's about to be, what did you call it, refined, Corey? Mm-hmm. So it's coming from the source, right? The source of consciousness or the source of God or whatever. Out the top of the torus, you have the angels. And then over the top of the torus, you have these multidimensional beings. And then coming down the torus, spinning, spiraling through the multiverse, you have the central races, and then you have the human souls that are volunteering, not necessarily a learning experience, volunteering, like Peace Corps, if you will. Mm. Souls that are so powerful, they're coming into bodies. Like, anybody who's retarded or has a mental illness, that soul that's in that body is probably one of the strongest fucking things you could ever find. Seriously. Right. To be trapped in something and not be able to express yourself, seriously.
Right, bodhisattva.
So, exactly. That's my rant.
Yeah.
That's my rant. I think that's what's going on. They're just one step away from being reintegrated or disintegrated and reintegrated into the source. And so at the bottom of our torus of life or the universe or the model or whatever you want to call it, of everything, you have these anomalies that are spinning, spiraling out of control, that are being sucked back in eventually and then spit back out as pure light again.
So you mentioned freedom. Talk about freedom in this whole experience.
Well, what does freedom mean to you first? And we'll just sort of get like a counter.
Well, on the level of a spiritual being, of an energy being, and again, there's as above, so below. People talk about freedom in a political context here on the planet in the United States. Right, our freedoms are being encroached upon by various sources and so on. Our ability to live our lives in a manner unencumbered by outside forces with a particular agenda that may or may not coincide with our own.
Okay, so So on a macro scale then, which is sort of where you're bringing it, and I like it that way to start. On a macro scale, freedom is essentially the ability to move and change your reality, modify it to your wish, change dimensions and leave different parts of areas that you don't like, you're seeing things that are happening, the ability to do all of that instantaneously, right? And if I could do that, I'd do it right now. So I don't necessarily think that I have the freedom because I haven't given it to myself yet. What I mean by that is once your consciousness and your frequency and your soul arises to such a level, any body that you take will possess the same natural qualities as when you're out of the body. So now you have phenomena of people such as Bodhidharma and the Buddha and all these bodhisattvas and these magicians and people like that. And then, of course, the well-known people like Babaji and Jesus and to an extent others. So, yeah, that's coming out because they can't contain it. The light is too much. They're barely riding the line of being able to condense down into this frequency and coexist with the other life forms. So when you raise your level that much, yes, then you have that freedom. But at this point, do we have that freedom? No. And so the point I'm making is all freedom is self-taught. All freedom is given to yourself because you have to put in the work or the time or the understanding or the journey or the seeking or and the finding or the losing or the whatever you have to go through for that trigger to actually happen in your right. soul, in your consciousness. And when it does, you'll experience effects like telekinesis and telepathy and time shifting and all sorts of different things. And now what do you have? Well, the inklings of your freedom. So anybody that ever tries to tell me, oh, we've got to fight for our freedoms and protesting and this and protesting that, it's like, no, you have it wrong. Anything that you're protesting to get recognition of, like you said, is asking your slave master, hey, don't beat me so hard. I want a little bit more room on the pasture. Is that okay? This grass is getting stale over here. Can I try something new?
Right.
Okay, so well. instead of like, okay, so you're in a prison, you're in a slave box, here's our solution. Breathe and meditate and do psychedelics every single time you can or opportunity where it arises and focus on increasing your power to the point where you can be such a huge titan of energy inside this little container that not only do you destroy the implants that are in your body, which keep you from experiencing multidimensionality, keep you from self-healing instantly, keep you from having a stable consciousness without all the mental disease and habits and tics that are socially engineered, without fear, without anxiety, none of these things will happen to you once you've gotten to this level. So by doing that, you can totally just destroy this whole construct. One person has the ability to do that, which is why Jesus was persecuted so hard and why Buddha, nobody really understood the true magnitude of what he was trying to say. That guy was actually pretty fucking smart. He was like, okay, I'm not going to get attached, but I'm going to take the middle path. Part of the middle path was balance and harmonization and a unity of opposites. He wasn't really running from desire. He did call it the root of desire and all, attachment, all the root of suffering and all that stuff. He equated those two. But at the same time, if you maintain a balanced perspective on how you feel about that, then you can still have desires without them affecting you negatively. So by walking this multidimensional middle path or balance or harmony, he was really showing people rather than telling them, not preaching in parables and so on and so forth, to the point where he raised an alarm or triggers of what we would call the Archon. These entities, they exist, Corey, outside of normal boundaries of time, so they can plan long range. But everybody's like, oh my God, this is bullshit. No conspiracy could ever run that deep, and you're just crazy. It's like, no, if you have the logistics, the means, the time, the manpower, and the willpower to accomplish something, it will get accomplished, especially if these Archons have the ability to project consciousness and interfere with reality, as was the case that I truly believe where I got cut off earlier. I don't think that was just... We've had our technical difficulties before. I haven't had problems like that with my Skype ever. And yeah, it could be agencies or something like that, but it's all guided in some way on an energetic level, okay? So to know true freedom is really to know yourself. You say that all the time.
Right, and so knowledge. Let's talk about that.
You know, Bob Marley said it best. Real quick, he said it best. Bob Marley said, the mighty man is a living God.
Mm-hmm.
We just forgot.
Right. Almighty God is a living man. Right.
There it is.
And that we are gods. And seems to me that part of that that feedback loop, the re-entering into this reality with all of its control dynamics and forced agendas and repetition, has us forgetting about that. We've forgotten. We've forgotten our unlimited potential, right? Like, anyone who says, I can fly, they'd be ridiculed. And gravity and certain rules of existence here that we have agreed to over and over again and have experienced as true over and over again, right? There's that perception versus reality again, become the rule. Right? So the guy who says, yeah, I can fly, well, maybe he can fly.
Well, also, to a certain extent, even if he did learn how to do it, he still has to overcome the collective energy, whether he knows it or anybody else knows it. There's a collective energy of that's not possible. And that's
exactly
been bred and sustained over generations. And so in the collective unconscious, he has to find a way to effectively separate himself from that and really do some drilling down into his own ego. And like we had a whole show on ego versus the sacred self. He really needs to get the ego out of the way, because the ego is what really makes it not possible. I talked about this before in a previous show. There's people that are trying to teach people how to walk through walls and do other things. And one guy, and there's no actual proof of this, so I could be completely wrong, it could be fake, but I truly believe it. I've seen stuff with my own eyes that would show me that these things are not possible. They were saying that people were trying to teach others how to walk through walls, and people would constantly just run into the wall, because their eyes and their ego would not let them believe it was possible. So they turned them around, sat them down with their back against the wall, and asked them to imagine floating or falling into the wall, and they actually would have some sort of success. You know what I mean? People would freak out and instantly pull out because they didn't want to get stuck. But then the ego survival thing took over. It's like, you're going to die. And you know what? That might be true. Because if you're not practiced enough and you try to go out and this is in Japanese anime. I fucking respect Japanese anime. I know this is a tangent, but I want to bring it up. They describe the human condition and the little ins and outs of everything so well, and especially when regarding talking about magic or magical powers or chi, powers that arise from chi. They talk about magic levels and depleting them and recharging them and how physical strength has an effect on the amount that you can carry and all these different types of things, right? And so, yeah, that's actual stuff. You have to make the connections and the physical neuron connections to be able to do this type of thing. But what I'm saying is for it to be described in such a manner, it shows that people unconsciously at least remember how to do these skills, right?
Right.
And but on the flip side of that token, people also unconsciously remember the conditioning that says, well, no, these skills aren't possible. So in order for somebody to really accomplish it, it's twofold. They have to master their self and then master the severance of that connection so they can perform the feat, whether that's levitation, like you said, or flying or whatever, setting a piece of paper on fire. And getting the connection from the sacred self to pass through the ego unfiltered to provide the type of energy that would allow you to make the type of partnerships and connections with the other types of energy, which is the matter that you're trying to control, whether that be yourself or the surroundings or the air or whatever, that right there is what's truly going to produce the telekinesis. Anybody that really has psychic powers or abilities will always tell you, I've met somebody before, and I don't talk about this a lot, will always tell you that it's a flow. It has nothing to do with control. It's a partnership, an agreement, and a flow.
It's allowing.
That's my piece there. That's exactly right. Resonant.
Yes.
Okay.
So, turn off the TV. You know, give it a break. Give your mind a break. That's another thing, too. We got TV and radio going on inside our head all the time. Pay attention to it. See what happens when you don't respond to it. how you typically would. You know, meditation is big. You know, try to get to a space where there's nothing. Try to get, you know, psychedelics is helpful. Definitely, as we've talked about, right? Where it changes, it alters our perception of reality. It all alters our ego consciousness. Maybe just enough to be able to pierce the veil.
Indeed. And yeah. That veil is being thoroughly pierced right now. I can tell you right now that there's some huge fucking things going on. There's going to be some gigantic results happening this year. I'll eat crow and stuff my face or whatever I have to do if I'm wrong, but I don't think it's going to be that way.
Yeah,
you're going to see mass arrests. You're going to see at least some sort of disclosure. I'm constantly seeing craft and spaceships just blatantly out there in the sky. One of them came down to aircraft level, like small airplane level, like below commercial craft, and was just sitting there over a fucking neighborhood here in Texas, Kennedale, and it was there for the past couple of nights. Really? So it's happening. The dam is cracking. The pedophiles are being exposed. I was fucking energetically attacked recently, right after I made a huge post about exposing the politicians and the people in supposed power that are really running all of these rings. Not only was I attacked by an ignorant Facebook commenter whose name will remain off of the show out of kindness, but I literally was attacked in such a way that it almost felt like I remembered what it was like to be poisoned. I truly believe that one of my lives I was poisoned for basically doing essentially the same fucking thing that I'm doing today.
Well, that was your arsenic, right?
Well, actually, okay, yeah, I was poisoned in arsenic in this lifetime as well. That could have been inadvertent. We don't know. That remains to be seen. We've done testing, so on and so forth. My point is this. I survived the energetic attack, and it felt like my kidneys and my whole body was shutting down. I could feel my organs shutting down, and immense pressure, sweatiness, feeling like I had to vomit. And I felt that if I did start to vomit, for whatever reason, I like to get it out usually, so I like vomiting when I'm sick. It feels better. For whatever reason, this time it felt like if I had done that, I would probably begin on my way dying somehow. So I used a breathing method that I just learned and I'm not a master at, but it's called the Wim Hof method, which is fucking phenomenal. The breathing's just a partial component. But I used that, and then it gave me the strength, and I was literally like this. I was like, this is not how I'm fucking going out, right? So there are points in your life where this peaceful protesting and blah, 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 that shit doesn't work. There's certain points in your life where you have to actually physically accept, okay, I want to live, I want to stay here, I want to be here for a purpose. What is my purpose? Well, luckily, I know what my purpose is. So when that was happening to me, I was like, I'm okay. If it turns out that I die, I'm going to miss everybody, that's fine. But at the same time, that's not going to happen. So I started thinking, relax. Okay, what do I do? Okay, breathing. All right, I'll do breathing. Okay, that's starting to work. What else do I do? Okay, return the attack and amplify it. Okay, great. Because there's certain things, if there's enough people that are attacking you, and there's groups of black magicians that are target white lighters and white lighters, back in the charm days, white hats, if you will, they target these people in groups. They play dirty pool, okay? But the fact is, if your shield is up, they can get through it, okay? Shields are not going to protect you. You have to actually, in the moment, make the choice to send it back to them. And so once I controlled myself with the breathing, I started feeling a little bit better, like I wasn't going to die at least. Then I sent it back to them, and I physically imagined being in the room. And you know where I was at, Corey?
Where?
I was in a cave. There was a lighted cave with flames on the wall somewhere in some part on this planet, and there was a bunch of people in robes standing around doing that shit. And there was one guy on the internet that was subjected to attacks, and he found a way to stop it. He would remote view, which is what I did, and didn't know I had the capability of doing this, but you remote view who's attacking you, and I saw all these people, and then you go stomp on their feet, go around and stomp like a little demon, poke them in the eye, kick them in the nuts. I'm just like stomping all these on their feet, like slapping around with, bah, bah, bah. How's that feel? And then imagining all that energy going back on them 100-fold, and I saw some of them shudder and collapse. And this could be, you're just in a weird state, you're sick, you ate something bad, and you're hallucinating, you're imagining this. No, this is something that I felt in my core. and I really couldn't articulate it at the moment. And when I came back inside, it felt as if I had the flu for 2 weeks and I just got done with it, basically. But I did feel better, and I could tell that they are probably not going to try that anytime soon, at least.
What you think, you do.
That's right. And guess what? I asked for help at some point. I was like, hey, can I get a little... I literally like this. This is my dying voice. Okay. Uh-huh. It's not like, oh my God, help me, please. It's like you would think in a movie where it's all the fears dramatized. My right. dying voice was like this. And I've had practice because I've had experiences like this. But it was like this. Can I get a little help here? Like talking to my star family and people that usually protect me from dying and being assassinated yeah. and all sorts of things like that.
And it showed
it was
up.
Like, yeah. They're like, yeah, we're doing it already. That's what's keeping this from killing you. And you could just help a little bit yourself if you want, if you remember how. And so that's when I started doing the thing.
Right.
So my point is this. I want to close with this. The veil is being pierced. You have the ability to do this. You have the ability to return the energetic attacks on your attackers. You also have the ability to stand up for what you believe in through meditation and effect a greater change than you would by walking around breaking shit and blocking traffic in the street.
Nice.
So that being said, I'll toss it back on over to you. I know we were doing the role reversal thing, but I had a lot to get out. The framework that you put together was beautiful. We just probably need like a 2-hour show so we can both
yeah, man.
Get through it all.
So yeah, I'm sure we'll get to that. What you got? What you thinking about for next week? Any insights?
Yeah, I haven't decided quite yet. I you know what? Actually, now that I think about it. You know who Marine Le Pen is?
Yes.
Marine Le Pen. Okay.
Yes.
That is my new role model. And it essentially gives credence to the fact that this wordsmithing thing that I've created is an actual innate ability that just comes out of nowhere. It's in 1 or 10 people, basically. And people can learn it, but it's inherent in some people, like myself and a couple others. And Marine Le Pen is literally the female embodiment of my soul energy as it is in a wordsmith. And you just watch her on some of her, like watch Marine Le Pen doesn't put up with BBC reporters bullshit. That's on YouTube. You can find that. And she totally fucking destroys this guy. And you can tell he's just being fed attack lines from his ear. And he's so smooth at putting them in. He's like, but you say you want liberté. And liberté is this French notion. But you and your politics are radical, and they actually divide the French people, and most people don't agree with you. And she like comes back with statistics and blasts him out of the water, and he's like, don't you call me a puppet. Nobody buys me. And he's like, just totally destroyed by this. And she's calling out the elite. She's calling out the Illuminati. She's calling out Angela Merkel to her face, who, by the way, guys, if you don't know, it's believed by a lot of very smart researchers and who have done genealogy tracking and things like that. Angela Merkel is the great granddaughter or granddaughter of Hitler. For all you people trying to control Trump to Hitler.
Interesting.
Why don't you suck on that for a little bit?
Yeah, man. So we're back into the fray, as it were, for next week. I think what's going
Marine
on in France
Let's
is very interesting. I look forward to talking about it.
I think we should do this, Corey. We should either read out some transcripts to some of her videos or play them. Of course, giving all credit that's due to the person who posted them and to the originator of the content as well. I think that's how we can get away with creative license or publishing, whatever it is, creative use. And it's enlightening, to say the least. The excellent perspective that's emanating from this lady. Okay, so let's just solidify that and land on it right now. Let's do an episode dedicated to her. And I'm going to also try to reach out to her, and hopefully we can maybe even get her on the show at some point, maybe when she's president of France.
That'll be interesting. It's not it's not all that it seems, folks. Don't get it twisted.
I'll pass it back to you, and you close out the show. And
good. Well, thanks for all the listeners, everyone who's checking us out every week. Hope you got something out of the show, and we'll be back next week with more of Piercing the Veil. In the meantime, be peace.